Jen, M, solid start we've got going on here.
Tradition at this point.
Yep. It's how we roll. Do you know what season it is? It's many different seasons. Do you know which season I'm thinking about right now?
I mean, I feel like it's like three different seasons per week in Texas, but it's fall, I believe. It's supposed to be.
It is fall. It's another season It's football season.
Yay. It is football season, yes.
And because it's football season, we have this very special bonus episode of the TV Campfire for God Family Football, Freebie's new show out now.
Yep.
That we both watched all of and thoroughly enjoyed.
We did. We are venturing more into the unscripted world, but it's nice to have something that sort of scratches the like small town Friday Night Lights itch a little bit, especially this time of year.
Yeah. So this interview that we're about to play is with the creator / executive producer, Aaron Benward. And the very first thing, you know, spoiler that you'll hear in a minute, is that I tell him is this show is made for this audience. We love Friday Night Lights, and this is real life Friday Night Lights. So like we were primed to wrap our arms around it and love everything about it. And it just delivers on all things that you want a high school football team to be.
Yeah. Hoping there was even more of it, but it is a very digestible 6 episodes. But yeah, hopefully we get some more.
Well, he talks about that they're filming season 2 right now. Yeah. So I'm hoping that translates into an airing of season 2. You never know in this world what happens. Life.
Yeah.
Productions, all the things. But yeah, it's very, like the 6 episodes, I didn't expect to go on such a journey over those 6 episodes. It's like anything. It's funny. Any pilot you watch the first episode and you're like, okay, you know, I like these people. And sometimes there's something interesting that keeps you coming back. But at the end of 6 half-hour episodes, when I say I was crying, I was not like sobbing, but there were moments in the finale that I definitely had tears in my eyes and like had gone on this emotional roller coaster over these 6 episodes that I was not expecting at all, especially I don't usually get that way in an unscripted show.
I feel like sports docuseries though really, really do that to me. Like there is something about like buying into these kids who are like so passionate about this one thing, you know, it's like, there's so many expectations on them and a lot of like support too from like the community, but it feels very high pressure. And like, I feel like it kind of, people have a lot of different high school experiences growing up, but like, I feel like all of us can sort of to some degree relate to that feeling of like, having those expectations on you as a young person, whether it was like grades or sports or whatever. And like, you just kind of feel the weight of that as these kids are also trying to figure out like how to grow up and how to have relationships and how to relate to their parents. And all these other things are happening simultaneously. But
well, it's why the YA, the young adult genre is my favorite genre. And I hadn't thought about it in the context of this show, but because the lead character that you're following is the coach who is back to the school after many years being away. So you think like, okay, this is a show about like the football team, but really the staff, but it really focuses so much on these kids and that hopefulness and that passion when you care so much about something and you fight so hard and you work so hard for it. And they do, like you see how hard they work just because they love it and how much they care about their coach and each other. Oh, this school is just like a little bubble of beautifulness in a way that I don't think many high schools are. Yeah, very different than most high school experiences.
It is a very unique like high school setting that you don't see a lot.
But one of the most interesting things that I feel like I wanted to know from Aaron and that we talked about was getting permission from these kids. Like I think about the other high school show that I watched, many years ago was Laguna Beach. And I think that the conversations with the Laguna Beach cast and the parents of the Laguna Beach cast was probably very different than the conversations with Evangel and their parents and these kids. And I'm like, I think there's a fear of me of like, oh, you're showing the real eyes of these kids, like how terrible. It's being a high school student is so awkward and you go through so many things and you're not your best self always. We're never our best selves always, but like just giving that permission for the cameras to be everywhere. But it seems like there was such trust and that because this school is such a positive environment that no one was worried about people being shown in negative lights. And he does give a tidbit about one thing that he decided to cut to protect a student. And it was like, they really trusted, the whole town really trusted Aaron and themselves that they were going to be shown in a positive light. And it really is just beautiful, but not without drama.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you can tell from this conversation with Aaron, like how much like love he went into it with, and like how I feel like you can always kind of feel the intention.
Yes.
Especially with something like this, that is dealing with, you know, high school kids and like real life, you know, situations and stuff, that you can feel when it's trying to like tell a truthful story versus maybe like be a little more manipulative or exploitative for the story. And I think there is something very like tender about the show and how they sort of approach these kids and, you know, them growing up and going through this season. That was really nice.
Yes. Yes. And I think just for anyone that may not know, Freevee is FREEVEE is Amazon's streaming, Amazon's free service. So It's part of Amazon Prime and you can get to it through Amazon Prime, but it also has its own app that you can get to. It's free. Yes, there are ads, but they're very minimal. And they've got such great programming. We've highlighted a number of their other shows from, I know your favorite, High School.
Yes. I do love High School. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like Freevee is one of the more exciting streaming services right now because they have had such unexpected original programming this last year. I mean, High School feels like it was a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long. It was like last fall. But yeah, High School, Jury Duty, which just sort of like blew up. Primo, which we also had at the festival, which is so funny. And then like Bosch Legacy and the, you know, New Leverage and all these other things that sort of have these connective tissues to other series. But yeah, I think they're doing like really interesting things. And this is another interesting thing that they tried and really paid off. So
I feel like they're taking risk, but risk with heart. Like It feels like everything they're doing is a little different and you don't really know how it's going to turn out. I mean, just think about Jury Duty. Like you have no idea.
Yeah. In
Jury Duty, how that's going to turn out. Even with the extensive casting they did to find Ronald, like they could have never known that they would have found a Ronald and that he would have been the gem of a human being that he was, and that it played out how it did. And like, that's what made that show so wonderful and special, and wonder if they can do it again in a different sort of setting.
Yeah.
But this conversation about God, Family, Football with Aaron Benward was really just a delightful conversation. And he is a really cool person that has a really interesting background from being a musician and an actor. His son is an actor and now producer, and how this show came about, I had no idea going into the conversation. And I think it's a very cool story, even before you get to the story itself of what they're showing. So it's really fun. And we don't do as much unscripted as we do scripted. So it's nice to like really start diving into that.
Yep. With that, enjoy this conversation with Aaron Benward about God, Family, Football. All episodes are streaming now on Freevee. And like Em said, you can watch it on the Freevee app, or you can watch it through Prime Video. And you can also check out everything else they have, which is a lot of cool stuff. Enjoy.
Aaron, it's so nice to meet you, and welcome to the TV Campfire podcast.
Thank you. What a great name, TV Campfire. That's great.
Oh, yes. It started, you know, back in the day, people would gather around the campfire to tell stories, and then people started gathering around the TV, and we just that and ran with it. The festival we call TV Camp for Grownups. So it's very much just come hang out, chat TV. But then we love being able to talk with people year round because not everything happens around the June festival. So we're very excited for premiere of God Family Football. We know that it's been out for a minute. So I'm excited to talk to you about it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Me too. Thank you.
Well, I want to kick off by just making sure you know that we at ATX TV are huge fans of Friday Night Lights. So obviously this show was geared towards us from the beginning. Really want to hear from you. Why this show? Why this school? Why now?
Yeah. We'll have to take you back to about 40 years ago, believe it or not. I just turned 50. So when I was 10 years old, I met Coach Denny Duran. And I met him because my dad was in ministry. I grew up as a son of a minister and music minister specifically. And he and Denny became friends. And I grew up in Houston, Texas, right down the street from you guys. And my dad took us to Shreveport, Louisiana to meet with this Denny Duran. And when I was 10 years old, I met him and I was instantaneously enamored with him as a young boy, because he was a football guy. He was a preacher guy. He was a minister guy. He was a Renaissance man. And in addition to that, he also was a guy who cared deeply about people. And you could tell instantaneously, even as a young man. And so he was so kind in being a mentor type of person in my life, and still is to this day. And so now I'm going to fast forward you to 2020. I was on the phone with Denny, as I often was, about every couple months or so, just, gosh, talking about life. Because oftentimes, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and have been for many, many years. And I would think oftentimes in my life, okay, what would Denny do in this instance? He's that amazing of a guy. And so he has spoken in my life throughout the course of my life, and we were talking, catching up, and it was September of 2020, and I was talking to him about the development of the scripted version of what you're now seeing on Freevee. We had, over the few years, and will eventually make this movie, but talking about what a movie of Evangel would be like, because it's a fascinating story of how it got started. And through the course of that process, I said, well, how's the football team this year? This is, again, in 2020, September. And they said, well, actually, they haven't won a game yet. He said, that hasn't happened since 1990. I was like, whoa, seriously? And I go, so what are you going to do about it? Because I knew he couldn't stand it. He was retired. He was hanging out, enjoying his, I think he's got 15 grandbabies or something and 7 kids. And he said, well, I think I'm going to come out of retirement. And I said, oh, cool. Thinking, you know, next year or whatever. I said, when? He goes, tomorrow. And I said, tomorrow? And he said, yeah. He said, I really think I need to come back. We've lost our culture. We all have all freshmen for the first time in our history. We're very young. It's almost like it's start over. And he says, I really feel like I want to be a part of this start over again. And so I said, well, instead of, like, I know we've been talking about making a movie and we will, but maybe we're supposed to tell your story in real time. You coming back and bringing the program that you started back in 1989, bringing it back to national prominence again. He's like, hey, let's do it. So anyway, long and the short of it is, my partners and I took some cameras down there, put together a sizzle of these freshmen who didn't win a game that season. And that sizzle that we put together in 2020, it took us about almost 2.5 years to sell, to then shoot season one, which was last fall, that came out this fall, September 1st.
I have such a fascination with how unscripted shows are made, because scripted, to me, as hard as they are, there's kind of a formula to it. And whether someone's written a pilot or they plotted out the season, but unscripted, you don't know. Once you get greenlit, you don't know exactly what's going to happen that year. So you don't really know what the story is going to be. How did you pitch it? You had the sizzle, but what was in the sizzle? And when you went in to actually go pitch it, what was the story that you were telling?
Yeah, Emily, it's so true. It's like I've had multiple experiences with the scripted format of films specifically. And like you said, you know, you have your script, you have your set number of pages per day you're going to shoot, you have your schedule, you know exactly what you got to do to make your days, as we call it. And in unscripted, it is literally the storytelling version of surrender. I mean, because you're going in, you have this world, and the world is Evangel Christian Academy. You have these characters, so to speak. I put characters in quotes because they're people that you're really just following and getting into their daily lives. And you're hoping that there is some interesting things and things of substance and stories and conflict and all the things that make, you know, a good story. And you really just have to be every single day, not only be surrendered, but also be kind of aware and ready to go at a moment's notice. So in the sizzle, to your question, you know, as we believe God would have it with the story, we had high school kids that were freshmen that were incredibly interesting. We were able to interview and able to kind of get into their lives this much to see what was there. And of course, Denny, I knew on camera, was an instant star. And then his assistant coach, Coach Carter, was an instant star.
I'm obsessed with him. Obsessed with him now. Yeah. Keep going, but we'll sort of by to Coach Carter.
But how do you know, right? When I'm on the phone with him going, yeah, let's come down there and shoot a sizzle. I'm hoping we find gold. And man, it's just from the get-go, Emily, it's been absolutely apparent that this story was supposed to be told, because every single thing along the way where you go, man, I hope there's something there, it is there. I'm just telling you. And so we put together Sizzle. We had numerous characters, some of which are in the show now, who are now I'm shooting season two, are seniors. And so at the time, they were freshmen. The twins, Peyton and Parker Fulgham, they were freshmen. Gabe came into it his sophomore year. Who else was there? A couple of them had graduated the following year, so weren't a part of the season. So it was really about showing the networks, here's our world. And it was Friday Night Lights in real life. And that was the thing I continued to pitch to everyone was, you know, I think it's important for any filmmakers and people that are creating content out there. It is really, really important to come up with that one log line. That log line is really, really important because it encapsulates what you want to put on screen in one sentence. And so it just kind of came to me one day. This was more than just a docuseries about a high school, about a Christian high school, about an amazing coach. I had never seen a docuseries. I loved QB1. I loved Last Chance U. I loved these types of things that I watched, all of them. But I didn't find one that had Friday Night Lights in real life. And that's what I said to them in every single network. And I found it quickly that, well, oh, they got it right away. Like, ah, okay, got it. And so we used some of the storytelling techniques that Friday Night Lights scripted did in an unscripted format.
It is, even from the radio announcers. I mean, it's so reminiscent of Friday Night Lights in this beautiful way. Were those radio announcers, I mean, was that taken directly from their recordings, or was there any of that was scripted to help the story move along?
Yeah. So when you hear the announcer, it's the same guy. It's their PA announcer at the stadium, who is also best friends with Coach Denny and was a former voice of the Indianapolis Colts, believe it or not. His name is Dan Newman. So we had Dan then become our Eagles radio network. And we mapped out, once we knew the flow of the episodes and the flow of the games and how they were going to go as far as the, you know, dramatizing the games, then we basically wrote kind of, and he was very much involved in that as well, because he had experience in what made sense, what felt real, what felt right. And then we did a VO with voiceover of those things.
It worked so well. It feels so organic. And so just like you're in it.
Good.
And listening in real time to what's happening.
Thank you. I loved it. No, good. I'm so glad.
You come from a music background, and I know I've done some acting. How did you make the transition into producing? And what was the scariest part? What was the most exciting part?
Yeah, you know, it started back with my wife, with our son, Luke. Our son is now 28, but when he was 5 years old, I was a touring musician. My wife's an actress and an acting coach, and he got an opportunity to play in a movie with Mel Gibson called We Were Soldiers, his son, in that movie. And that took him on. He went from there, and now has had an incredible, incredible career and still does to this day. But I say that to say, I was the dad of the actor coming in and off of tour wherever they were on location, whether it was actually they filmed a movie in Austin called How to Eat Fried Worms. That, yes. With New Line and Walden. And other places. And so instead of going home to Nashville, I would come to wherever they were. And I started realizing, like, the producers on sets have a skill set that I had as well in the music side of things. And that was, one, they were able to take, you know, a creative idea, whether it was a song or it was a movie, and be able to get that from point A to point Z and utilize, you know, not only create the creative parts, but utilize the administrative, the relational elements of that, the kind of the budgetary and financial situations, and just kind of be able to corral it all to an end result. And so I was doing that in music. I mean, even though I was the artist and the songwriter and recording artist and all that stuff, I was very much involved in the marketing plans for records and how to budget a tour and the sponsorship and how to make it happen and the bottom lines and what did we sell in merch tonight? Are we, you know? And so I quickly realized that being an artist is a young man's game unless you become one of the top tier, unless you're Bono. And and so I was like, you know, I would love to make the transition into producing and telling stories and potentially can feel like I can do that. So I just kind of, as the actor's dad and the artist coming in off the road, I would just kind of begin to ask questions of the producers and learn a little bit more about that and realize that one day I'm going to do that. And so the first thing, I started a company with three other partners in Houston, Texas, called Watershed Motion Pictures. And our first movie was about five or six years ago called Playing God. That is now on Hulu and you can find. And that was our first foray into it. And I realized, man, I love it. I mean, I absolutely love it. And then God Family Football is actually our first TV series and my first TV series.
As the creator of the series, what kind of pressure does that put on you? Because obviously you have a lot of people coming at it from different directions. You have some very strong personalities that are you're focused on. But as the creator, you're the one really crafting the story of what happens and what you're showcasing in each episode. How much of that are you taking on for yourself completely? And how much are you relying on these people around you and your producing team?
Yeah. So I think a really good, great idea all starts with a gut instinct, right? And on that phone call that day in September of 2020, it was that thing inside of me that I thought, man, I think this might have something. If there's more down there than just this idea, then we're onto it. And once we got down there and started seeing the world and seeing what makes this place so unique, and there's no other place like it. There's no other school like Evangel. There's no other culture like it. There's no other leadership like it. I mean, these high school kids truly, truly love each other. Whether the cameras are rolling or they're not, they're exactly the same. I'm going to take a little detour because it makes sense at this point. I'll come back. Is that last week we're down here shooting, like I said, I had a 30-year vet, former VP of Disney, former president of Lionsgate, who's one of our executive producers, come down here and just kind of see what we were doing and be a part of it for the weekend. And he was like blown away, tears in his eyes. This is a guy who's licensed over $12 billion worth of content, a very, very big player in Hollywood that comes down here and is literally moved to tears multiple times because he's like, this is crazy. Like these kids and how much they care and love for each other. And it all comes from the top down, from the leadership of Denny and his staff. But the point of all that is you hope you have an idea and then you get into the world and you see, oh, wow, this really does have legs. And then you got to put together something that is compelling. And once you feel like you have that, then you go out to the networks. And when it comes to the pressure of the creating something, I found that if I allow myself to get into the weeds of, oh my gosh, I hope they like it. Oh my gosh, I hope it's for them. Oh my gosh, this is the one. And begin to take on that stress. Then I realized that one, it was taking the joy out of the process. Two, it was putting too much weight on them rather than the weight on the fact that we can just let it go. We've done what we've been able to do at the best of our ability. And the results lay outside of me, right? And so we literally were pitching the show to every network. I'm telling you, for over about 6 month period, we were with everybody. And not one time did we get any negative pushback. It was just wrong timing for people, or consolidations were happening and with different companies. And when we finally got to Amazon, and they actually passed the first time and had come back about 6 months later, said, we think we missed it and would want to be a part of it. At that point, there's a whole new dynamic that comes into play. And that is a whole bunch of people that have opinions about the thing you created. And, you know, but the thing about this particular project, I don't know about other ones, but this particular project was our access has been 100%. And when I say 100%, we have gone into anything and everything, anywhere, any home, any place in this community, and never one time been told no. Everyone has received with open arms and said yes. So that is unprecedented. The network was blown away by our access. And so that was a sign that, man, this is going to be something that's special, that people are going to really get to see the real, because that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to tell the truth. We had some networks that wanted to be involved that maybe wanted to exaggerate the truth some and or take it to a place that was a little more dramatic than the reality of it was. And we actually pulled it off the table. Like, we had to deal with them and we pulled it off the table because it was so important to us to be able to tell the authenticity of it. And so we do, and we get into and the access was incredible. And then throughout the entire process of filming season one, the network allowed us to do what we do here. And I think it was because the trust that Denny, who is the figurehead and the visionary of the school and of everything going on there, had in me, quite frankly, it started with a relationship.
Yes.
You know, and it always does. Always starts with a relationship. And there's no better currency in our lives in what we do than relationships. And, you know, there's no amount of stress, there's no amount of problems that ever should supersede the relationships that cause you to be able to do what you do. And so keeping that at the forefront has allowed us to be able to have just an amazing, amazing access and amazing, amazing storytelling.
Well, and that's, I mean, because I'm so fascinated, especially obviously Pastor Denny is the lead character in it, but you're in the weeds and in the lives of these high school students. And so I was really fascinated by the concept of getting permission from the students, from the parents, what those conversations were before you ever started filming, of what you were going to show and if there were boundaries, because they are high school kids. And fortunately, you're showing a Christian school and coming from a Christian background and have this relationship with Coach Denny. So there is that trust there, but I feel like some sort of boundaries were probably laid out before you started filming with what you were going to ask and what you were going to film, even having all that access.
Yeah, I was very, so this is a culture here at Evangel of, and they use these terms a lot, of buying in. They create champions on the football field because the boys buy into the culture. And the culture, quite frankly, is exactly the title: God first, family second, football third. Football is a byproduct and an opportunity and something they get to do. What Denny and his staff and the teachers there are really, really all about is creating amazing, amazing adults as they leave them. And, you know, the buying in culture allowed, when I came in with cameras and began to share the vision with the entire community, from parents on down, they bought in because they're used to that. They're used to this culture of trust. And that, to me, was something that it was sacred. Because, you know, look, people tell stories in different ways and they do it how they want to do it. But the way I want to do it is, one first is truth. I'm searching for truth. And the truth of each situation, because this place, this school is not perfect. And Denny would be the first to tell you that. He tells us in interviews, it is not perfect. We have a situation, this is not a spoiler alert, but we have a situation with this season where we have a failed drug test. We show it. You know, we show it. We show it because after talking with the player and his mom, I want to show them how they deal with setbacks, how they deal with problems. And we're going to show this kid overcome because this is what this show's about. And so similarly, last season, the things what you're seeing, yeah, we did. I protected a player one time We had footage of a player in a situation where he, quite frankly, looked at just like he was having a quasi-nervous breakdown in the middle of the game. And he's a player with great promise and potential and has major, major colleges looking at him. And I knew in that moment, had a conversation with him, that if we showed that, it could potentially be damaging to his future. Because you don't know the context, and you're looking at something, and it looks like this kid might be going a little crazy. And it was just a situation where his senses got overloaded from all the things going on and the pressure that he put on himself and his parents put on him and, you know, the team puts on him. And it just kind of like cracked, to be honest. And so I held that footage out on purpose because I want to, most importantly, I want these kids to be successful and have an opportunity. And would it have made great TV? Sure. Would it have been probably high stakes drama and, oh my gosh, what's going on? And wow, that's crazy. Sure. But we had so much great content that I didn't have to include it. And so, yeah, there are boundaries I actually set in place because I want to protect Denny. I want to protect the school and I want to protect these kids.
I thought it was interesting, especially with the twins and talking to the twins about their father and the relationship with their father. And especially when it started, because you just talk to them about it and then you bring in their father later. So not knowing that he wasn't even going to be brought in, I was like, this is really interesting. And I wondered about the conversation you had with them and with their mom, and then even going out to their father to include him in the story, how that came to be.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted, of course, I knew going in because I'd done the sizzle about their dad. He is the most storied player, Josh Booty's his name, most storied player in their program's history. And the situation that went down and how Sarah, their mom, got pregnant and all the things, I knew that was there. And I wanted to explore it. I wanted to know what the boys thought. And so we just asked questions, turned the camera on, and what you see is what you get with them. At the same time, you know, we're getting Sarah's perspective, who's raised them. She's sacrificed, and she's incredible. She's a hero, right?
She's awesome. And
true hero of our, one of the true heroes of our story. But at the same time, I could have left him out, but I want to know his perspective. I want to know what he was going through, what he was facing, how he feels. And so I felt like it was very important to include him. And, you know, he is in a situation where I think he's looking back and wish he would have done things different. And I think it comes through in his interview. And I think, you know, hopefully we'll be able to explore some of that this season with him as he's re-entered their lives and really trying to be a better father to them, even though it's maybe later than anyone probably would have expected or suggested. However, you know, the boys are open and open to that, open to the relationship that he might want to have with them. And man, again, this show is about overcoming. It's about the good things. It's about, hey, look, man, life is not perfect. These kids are not perfect. This school is not perfect, but they do have this sense of if we put God first, there are things that work together for ultimately for our good. We have to go through hard crap. We may have to go through difficult times, dark times, but man, if we continue to put those things first in our lives, it will prove to be to make us better people, make us better men, and ultimately have better relationships. So, you know, It was interesting at first. You know, there's obviously a lot of water under that bridge. You know, you can see it. You know, you can see it on screen. I'm not saying anything that's not there. However, man, my hope and prayer is that maybe through this show that the boys and their dad could restore a relationship that for the rest of their lives would be something that's very, very fruitful. That's my hope.
Well, and the way that you're able to show family, not just through them, but all sorts of different types of families in the show, when you were looking at all the students and which ones to focus on, was that part of it? If we want to make sure we show diversity of their backgrounds and who they are and what their relationships with their parents or their siblings are and creating kind of that perfect cast.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This school is such a beautiful picture of what America and the world needs to see. This school, our kids from all socioeconomic backgrounds, all religious beliefs. It's on the kind of on the other side of the tracks, as Denny calls it, in West Shreveport, which is kind of the lower income side of this city. It's for a reason. When his mom started in 1980, it was a mission, and it still is to this day. They consider it a mission to reach kids. They don't turn anybody away. This school, month by month, makes it this is not a, you know, white flight, very wealthy type school. Well, this is a month. Go ahead.
And you show that with Coach Carter. I mean, and his three jobs and his food truck and how Coach Jenny talks about him and just the fact that they're doing this because they love it, but that it's not, they're not making money off of this program.
No, absolutely not. I mean, and then, you know, you asked about the students, you know, you start diving into their stories and their lives and you start you kind of start seeing things just, I don't know how to explain it other than they naturally just kind of start rising to the top. Probably both personality wise, relationally, what's going on, going back to your very first question, really allowing things to happen and being ready for when they do. That's really unscripted storytelling to me. Surrendering what might happen and then being ready when it does. And total opposite, really, of scripted, because you know, you like you said, you have your boxes, you have your time, you know exactly what you're going to shoot that day, and then you're able to play within the confines of that. But this is a completely huge sandbox, and you're going, okay, where are they going today? You know, and being ready for that.
I also appreciate that you show a little bit of romance, a little bit of teen romance in it. It's like, I mean, you know, for the teenage girl heart that I still have, I'm like, yeah, we need this. We need a little bit of these love stories with these football players and their girlfriends.
But when I was, you know, I'm going, Peyton, bro, you're the quarterback. You're not taking a girl to homecoming. What's your freaking problem, dude?
My favorite part is he's like, never doing that again.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and when Gabe and Chernice, we were able to find them, I was like, thank you, God. We have a budding romance here. You know, I will say season two is a lot different. There are lots of girlfriends now.
Oh,
I don't know if it's the show, but
there's a little drama, just a little bit. Also, but talking back about families, I love, as I'm sure everyone fell in love with, Roe and his story and being able to show an exchange student and what his life is like and having his family come in. I mean, you had no idea when you started filming that he would even, when you did the sizzle, that would even be a character you got to showcase. But how cool was that?
It was, well, it's episode 3. This is not no type of spoiler. And it's, if I had to choose my favorite episode, it's episode 3 with Ro. I mean, we got down there to film. And we, of course, had 3 or 4 weeks of prep while they're kind of in practice and before game started. And there was just, I didn't know, there was just this, you know, kid from Mexico that was there, and he was just kind of like peripheral. He wasn't even like a deal. And then I'll never forget, Parker comes in one, like, second week of practice, like, we're filming already. Like, this is just and from a cast perspective, potentially inconsequential character. Right. And Parker comes in, he comes to me. We have a great relationship with all these boys. They're like my sons now. I mean, I'm hanging out with them. I'm leaving your podcast and going to practice. We're not even filming. I'm just going there just to be with them. But he goes, AB, they call me AB. AB, look at this. And he shows me the highlight reel of Ro that he finds on Instagram. And it's Ro just balling out as a quarterback in Mexico. And he goes and shows Denny. And all of a sudden we have this story out of nowhere. And it becomes one of the pinnacle stories of our season. And literally nobody had any idea, including Denny. Like, Denny would usually tip me to stuff like, hey, you might want to look at this kid, or you might want to look at this story. Nobody had a clue. And all of a sudden, Peyton goes down with concussion, and then Ro gets to go in the game. And I'm going to leave it at that.
I know. I'm like trying not to do spoilers, but also all of the most beautiful moments of the show, including the last episode and how the game plays out and the different, I want to call them characters as well, people, mm-hmm. team members that get to play. I was not expecting to get as emotional as I did at the end of it. And of course, tears are running down my face and I didn't expect this to happen in this moment. But of course, it's football. Of course it does.
Totally. Yeah. It's, Nick, we can tell Nick that he is such a special guy. And for people that are just listening and haven't watched the show yet, they have a school, part of their school here is for people that have some learned disabilities and some special needs. And he is just the most amazing, amazing young man. And I love him so much. And he gets to go in the game. And that's what she's talking about, which is great. Yeah.
Just the best moment and how it all plays out. I have a couple questions for our members that I want to make sure I get to. One from Chris is, why did you decide to end the season after the final regular season game rather than after the playoffs, even though you show the playoffs, but you really, that's only the last little bit. And did you decide that before or after Evangel's playoff run ended?
Yeah, I wanted to show the playoffs. I wanted to film all the way through, but unfortunately, budgetary restrictions were the reason. And so what we had to do is basically we shot all the way through the regular season, and then not knowing how the playoffs would pan out, that's when we had to kind of like button it up with, honestly, the footage you see of the playoffs are footage from the actual football teams themselves that we were able to acquire. Season two will be different because I, like you, there's really only one thing that kind of consistently came back on season one that people would like to have seen differently. And that's exactly your question. They wanted to see how them in the playoffs. And I think that I did too. Unfortunately, we didn't have the budget to do it.
So. That all makes sense. And then Lee, most of Lee's questions have already been answered, but I do want to know, you've talked a little bit about how you ended up on Freevee, but was there a conversation about the religious aspect when and how you were going to show that, knowing it's for broad audiences and sometimes religion can be tricky to show on, you know, for the masses? Were there conversations with them about what that was going to look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this for anyone listening that needs a little bit of encouragement or hope, I hope this story will be that for you. You know, as producers and content creators that are trying to do it consistently, oftentimes we get from our agents about once a quarter, what they call mandates and networks. And they basically, networks all list out what they're looking for, right? We're looking for a true crime series, or we're looking for a game show or whatever. And never in the last, I don't know how many, 5 years or so of me being part of receiving those, have I seen one that says faith-based high school football docu-series. Never. And it goes back to that initial thing I said earlier of really being in tune with first of the idea that you feel has something. I mean, people like myself have ideas constantly. I mean, I've had so many today. And of course, I write them down and hopefully we siphon through them, and the ones that rise to the top are the ones that usually work. But there is that thing that has it. It's a lot of time it has, comes with a title and a log line and a feel and the whole thing I mentioned earlier. But, you know, never did it say, did I ever expect this to be the easy sell, no problem, because of all the things you mentioned. However, once we got into it and started pitching it, and the pop on the tape, as they call it, you know, with our talent was apparent. I mean, there is a natural compulsion for people to want to hear what Denny and Coach Carter say. And that's just innate. I mean, you can't teach that. It just is what it is with them. So when you have that going for us, we're like, oh, they call them stars. You know, these guys are stars. These guys are stars. And they are. But then, you know, the content was king for me. And Denny and his school they do not apologize about how they create the culture that they do. It is very, 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 very God. And I'm going to go on to say Jesus centric. It's about how they get these kids to believe in themselves more than they ever thought more than these kids ever thought they could. I mean, our heroes in our story are our single moms. So many of these kids are raised by single moms. So many of them have had parents that have passed away. I mean, these are kids who are overcoming so many things. And it's not overcoming these things by just being good people. It's overcoming these things by having a change and a transformation inside them that then comes out through their actions and through their behaviors, and then ultimately throughout the rest of their life, hopefully. And so Amazon, through the process, never one time asked me to tone down the religious aspect of it. And I think there was for a couple of reasons. One, because that's the truth, right? We're going after the truth, and the truth of this is what it is. And secondly, from a business perspective, Amazon and Freevee specifically are making very specific strides into the faith-based content world, our show being the first that they've done. And so there was a lot of trust there from the standpoint of my experiences in that world, coming from, you know, ministry background and those types of things, as well as the relationship that I had with Denny in the school. So they put a lot of trust in us on the content side. And then once we got to the post side of things, they very much would speak into that because, man, to their credit, they really understand great flow. I mean, you got to think about the amount of hours we shot over about, 4-month period. we're talking hundreds and hundreds, hundreds and hundreds of hours. And we basically brought it down to 6 episodes of 30 minutes apiece. That's 180 minutes. So, but to their credit, man, there was a trust factor. And then we, at the same time, trusting them on the post side to help us make sure that we manufactured the story in a way that was compelling, that was exciting, that was dramatic, and all the things that make good TV. So it was a really great, great partnership. It really was.
And how has the reception been amongst people that are discovering it for the first time, amongst the town, Coach Denny, when he watched it? Yeah. What's been the reaction?
Well, the most important reaction for me was Coach Denny's when I showed it to him. And of course, I was able to show it to him a month and a half or so before it aired. And that was the most important thing because I want to honor him. He's my hero, and I want to honor him and his family. And I think we were able to do that. So that was so rewarding for me. Beyond that, you know, this city, I just freshly got a fresh haircut today at a barber that I don't live here. So, and I'll go in and sit in the barber chair. And then of course they ask me what I'm doing here. I tell them I'm shooting a TV show and they're goddamn football. I mean, people around here are just, they're just so supportive and so excited about it. And then beyond Shreveport, man, the reception has been unbelievable, man. I mean, it's just been overwhelming. It really, really has. And you put something into the world, and I've been doing it for a long time, whether it's songs and music or now a TV, and you put something out of the world, and you have dreams and hopes and prayers of what it will be and what it will accomplish. And ultimately, man, I've had stories already of people and how their personal lives have been affected and improved because of the show. And man, if that's all it was made for, then that's worth it for me. I'm just grateful we get to do another season right now. And hopefully I will shoot as many seasons of Godfather Football as I'm allowed, because it's that compelling and that much fun for me. So this is a dream come true for me. It really is.
Aaron, congratulations. And thanks for talking to me. I loved the show. And I mean, from the nitty gritty of how do you just get these football players to agree to be on this, to how it's crafted, to the pitching of it and your relationship with Coach Denny, is just a beautiful, beautiful story, both behind the camera and on screen. So congratulations and thank you.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks for your time. I loved it. So fun.
Appreciate it. I'm also jealous that now you get to go be at football practice with them. I want to go hang out with them.
Come on. You're not far.
Shreveport's not that far. We can just, right. Laura and I can make a little road trip. I'm sure some of our friends would
do it. That's right. Y'all should make a road trip. It is like no other place on earth, man. You drive onto that campus and it is, no matter what you believe, there's a spiritual thing happening there and it's awesome.
Just because I still have you for a minute, Lee, who's one of our members that's on, does want to know how Russell Wilson got involved as a producer.
Oh, yeah. So basically we got done with the entire project and Russell, like a lot of athletes right now, Steph Curry, LeBron James, you know, all production companies, he too has one. And, you know, obviously his brand has been very, very outspoken about his faith and what he believes and connected to football. And so in discussing with Amazon, bringing on some other, you know, assets that could help us get the word out and just kind of break through the clutter, his name came up and we basically went to him and he was like all about it, because he said, you know, if I was to do this, this would be the exact story that I would want to tell. So it was a match made in heaven. He jumped on board and I'm excited about him being more involved in season two than he was in season one, because he got to him late, but season two, he'll be more involved. It's exciting.
That's awesome. Thank you. Sure. Well, I won't hold you back from football practice anymore. And that beautiful new stadium that is just gorgeous. And watching them lay it down, watching Coach Denny with his coffee pouring the concrete, I was like, yes, this is... I'm surprised he actually didn't make all the football players come, was what I was waiting for. Enforcing them to all be there at midnight to like take part in this. But then watching them run onto the field for the first time, I was like, oh, it's just... I mean, football is my life in high school. So
I get it, man.
I got every part of it.
I know, man. Thank you guys. This was great.
Well, thanks again. And we'll look forward to season two and promotion around season two when it's
awesome.
Time.
Sounds good. Thanks guys.
You have been listening to the TV Campfire podcast, hosted by ATX TV co-founders Emily Gibson and Caitlin McFarland, and produced by Jennifer Morgan. This conversation was recorded live at ATX TV Festival Season 12 in Austin, Texas, between June 1st and 4th, 2023. For more information on the festival and becoming an ATX TV member, follow us at ATX Festival or visit atxfestival.com.